the word, you know, Yom Kippur is always the most, absolute most intense holiday. And we have a lot of themes. We have a lot of scriptures that we can talk about. I want to talk about a very important topic for Yom Kippur tonight. And it's the idea, and we talk about it a lot, but it's the idea of sacrifice. Sacrifice. What does it really mean? What is sacrifice really about? What does it really mean? First, I want to give a definition of sacrifice as we begin tonight. And I like this definition, the way that this definition put it about the word sacrifice. Quote, the surrender or destruction of something prized or desirable for the sake of something considered as having a higher or more pressing claim. End quote. So, did you catch all that? There's a lot. I'm going to say it again. The surrender or destruction of something prized or desirable for the sake of something considered as having a higher or more pressing claim. God instituted sacrifices in the Bible for that reason. Animals that would die, prized animals. Now remember, back then, it's like today if we were to just burn money, right? Nobody wants to burn money. Money is a prized possession for us. But it would be like if we were burning or destroying money in order to get atonement from God. Well, back then, it was animals, your most prized possession living in an agricultural society. Everything you had, everything you were going to have was determined by your cattle and all of your different animals. So, God instituted this idea of sacrifice, and yes, there was some grain sacrifices, which was also very costly, but mostly it was animal sacrifices. Animals would have to die in place of people because God wants to be with us. That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, but that's what it is. That's the whole concept between of biblically what the sacrifices were as reflected in the Torah. Now, we know today that Messiah Yeshua, he was the one that was sacrificed. He was the one that was destroyed in a way so that we could have our sins atoned for and that so that we could live, so that we can be connected with God. So I want you to turn to our first scripture tonight, and it's in the book of Romans, Romans 6:23. We have to ask this important question because we read all this stuff, but why do we really need sacrifices in our lives? Why did Israel need sacrifices? And really, why do we need sacrifices today? The answer, very simply, is because of sin, because of separation from God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Messiah Yeshua our Lord. But focus on that first part of the verse. The wages of sin is death. We all sin. We all have a fallen nature, and we all do things that are contrary to God's law, contrary to being holy as God said to be holy. And because of that sin, there's a separation. When Adam and Eve sinned, there had to be death. When Adam and Eve sinned and everybody afterwards, there had to be death. From the beginning, from our forefather Adam, because sin always produces death. God is life, and with God there is life. God cannot be with death. God is only life. And so when we sin, we separate ourselves from God and choose death over life. It's really that simple. Point number one, sin always leads to death. It never leads to good things. It may feel good at the time. It may seem good when we sin. And usually when we sin, it always seems good on the outset. But then there's always consequences to our sin. Now, some of us may not have all these crazy sins like some people might, but we still all sin. We still all have this separation from God. And ultimately, that sin does lead us down a path that produces death. Turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Way, way back with Adam and Eve, when they first sinned, when they first separated themselves from God, God said, I can't be with you. And in order to have that reconnection, in a sense, there has to be something that dies, right? So, Genesis 3:21, and the Lord God made for Adam and Eve's and for Adam and his wife garments of skins and clothed them. They were naked. They realized they were naked, so God clothed them. Well, that sounds great, but God didn't go down to the department store and get some clothes for them. God had to kill an animal. And the whole point of that is something had to die. There had to be a sacrifice to atone for that first sin that Adam and Eve had. Those animal skins that they were clothed with had to come from something, and it came from an animal that had to die. That was the first sacrifice recorded in the Bible. Back in biblical times, the Israelites would go first to the tabernacle and then to the temple. And what they would do is they would present their sacrifices to the priest and to the Lord. Their sacrifices had to be of value, like we talked about before. Remember the definition: the surrender or destruction of something prized or desirable. You were not supposed to bring that sacrifice, you know, the runt of the litter, that sacrifice that you could kind of do without. That thing, well, you know, okay, I'll be a little sad if I get rid of the little calf over here. You had to bring something prized. You had to bring something that was precious to you, that was valuable to you at the time, that had no blemish, so to speak. Leviticus chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. In the beginning of Leviticus, we find all the different types of sacrifices, the first five chapters. Leviticus, at the very beginning, 1, verses 2 and 3. Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, when any of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of livestock from the herd or from the flock. Verse 3. If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer a male without blemish. He shall bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting that he may be accepted before the Lord. The whole point was to bring that sacrifice so that you would be accepted before the Lord, so your sins could be atoned for, so you could have connection with God. That's what we all crave for as human beings. The problem is the world just goes after it in all these sorts of ways. Not only do they try in every other way besides accepting Yeshua as the ultimate sacrifice, but then they conceive of a different kind of God, a God that doesn't mean, that doesn't, it doesn't matter if you sin, or this God over here that if I do this, it'll be okay with this God. So we create other gods that have a different character than our God in the Bible, than the God in the Bible. But the sacrifice had to be a prized possession, had to be without blemish, of value. What you would do is you'd bring your animal before the priest at the temple. The animal would be sacrificed in place of you for your sins, and the death of the animal was necessary. Turn with me, though, to Leviticus 17:11, one of the central texts in the Torah. Leviticus 17:11, it speaks about atonement. It speaks about how we have atonement for our sins. The animal dying itself wasn't the way that we atone for our sins, although that's what happened, but it was the blood in the animal that atoned for our sins, the shed blood. Leviticus 17:11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by the life. So that's pretty clear. It's not just about killing animals and all this whole, that's cruel and all this. Something had to die, and the way that something dies is the blood has to drain out. You and I have blood that's coursing through our veins and going through our body, and that's the only reason we're alive right now and breathing. Same thing with animals. When that blood is shed, the blood pours out and atonement is made. The life of the animal goes out when the blood is shed. Point number two, the blood of the sacrifice produces atonement, not the death of the animal in and of itself. The blood of the sacrifices produces atonement. Turn now to Leviticus chapter 4, verse 4. We continue to read about the process of sacrifice back in the Torah. Leviticus 4, 4, he shall bring the bull to the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord. This is the person that was sacrificing the animal. And lay his hand on the head of the bull and kill the bull before the Lord. This is very descriptive, very detailed. Had to be done this way. This is the process actually of the sin offering. The head of the family, one animal per family, the head of your family, the father, whoever the head of the clan that family was, had to bring the offering on behalf of the whole family. His animal sacrifice had to bring it before the Lord and specifically had to lay his hand on the head of the animal. So there's several things going on when we see this in Scripture. Number one, there's three things. Number one, there is a substitutionary atonement here, the substitution. You present the bull, in this case, to the Lord in place of yourself. Sin results in death. God in his mercy gives a substitutionary sacrifice, or else we would have to die for our sins. But there's a substitution. Instead of us, the animal has to die. Second, there is an identification that's going on. You lay your hand on the animal, and this is, of course, a symbolic gesture. This isn't something, you know, cosmic or something magical where I'm transferring, you know, my sins, you know, the power out of me into the animal. It's nothing like that. It's a symbolic thing. But what it represents is that you're identifying with that animal that's dying. You're saying, this should have been me. This really should have been my death. But in place of that, I'm giving this prized possession of mine. That's going to be substitutionary, yes, but I'm identifying with this animal by placing my hand on it. And third, there's death, the shedding of blood, as we've discussed. So the animal dies for your sins, and that's how it happened year after year after year for our people in ancient times. Now turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. This is a scripture we talk about a lot during this time of the year, the Akedah, the binding of Isaac. I just want to read the first two verses. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So burnt offering, sacrifice, just like the sacrifices in the Torah for sins. This is also, as I said, referred to as the Akedah, the binding of Isaac. Now, Isaac was the son of the promise. Abraham had waited over 20 years for Isaac. God had promised him Isaac. God had promised Sarah, his wife, Isaac. They were both, she was barren. They couldn't have kids. In their old age, God miraculously provided Isaac for them. And God tagged Isaac with the future of this Jewish people. God gave Abraham this promise, the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham knew all this. He confirmed it several times. And then yet he tells him to sacrifice the son that all the promises hinged on. It seemed very strange. We always talk about Abraham's faith here, faith to believe that God, even when God said something, your son Isaac is going to be the one of the promise, everything's going to go through Isaac, he still had the faith to bring Isaac and put him on the altar. Knowing all of that, he had that faith. Of course, the book of Hebrews talks a little bit about what was going through Abraham's mind at the time. But the point was, he exercised great faith by putting his son on there as a sacrifice to God. Because at the last minute, though, God provided that substitutionary sacrifice that wasn't Isaac. Genesis 22, verse 13. Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son, substitutionary. We know that the events in the Tanakh are a foreshadowing of what is to come for us and what was to come with Messiah Yeshua. So the sacrifice, the binding of Isaac, the substitutionary nature of it with the ram, this all points us really to the sacrifice of Yeshua. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 1, verse 29. When his cousin Yochanan, the immerser, saw Yeshua coming, this is what happened. John 1, 29. The next day he saw Yeshua coming toward him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So John recognized it. He saw that this was that substitutionary sacrifice coming. It was a prophetic utterance. And he says, he's going to take away the sin of the world. He was recognizing that Yeshua was the Passover lamb, specifically, which was killed, sacrificed. And we know during Pesach that the blood was put on the door frames or the doorposts of the houses. Any home that had the blood on the doorposts, the angel of death would pass over. It would block death from coming into the house. That blood, that shed blood of that animal, that substitutionary animal, would block the angel of death coming in and killing the firstborn of every family. Now turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Yeshua, prophetically, is that atonement for us. Just like back in Passover and just like the sacrifices in the Torah. Romans 3, 23 to 25. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Messiah Yeshua, verse 25, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. Now that is beautiful, that is awesome, and that is relieving for us. Because if not for that, we would have to die in our sins. We would have to die in our sins, especially because the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. God had envisioned this all along, though. This was his plan, and we see it, the beginnings of it in Genesis. We see it throughout the Torah. We see it with the prophets, and then we see the fulfillment of it with Yeshua coming as the Messiah, as the sacrifice for the sins of mankind. We talk about Isaiah 53 and how messianic that scripture is all the time. Let's turn there. Verses 5 and 6. 700 years before Yeshua, the prophet Isaiah spoke these words. But he was pierced for our transgressions, our sins. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds were healed. We like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Point number three, Yeshua is the ultimate sacrifice. Even though this is a somber night, Yom Kippur, even though it's a reflective night, we have an assurance tonight, those of us that believe, that Yeshua is the ultimate sacrifice for our sins. So now we come back as we close to the definition of sacrifice that we talked about earlier, the surrender or destruction of something prized or desirable for the sake of something considered as having a higher or more pressing claim. You and I are precious to God. God wants relationship with us. We are his creation. Now, even though we've sinned, even though we've fallen short, even though we don't measure up to God's expectation because of our choosing to separate from God, God still loves us. God still wants us, and he wants everyone out there. He wants a relationship with everyone. Yeshua comes, and he willfully surrenders his life so that you and I can have that connection with God. Back to Romans 6:23, where we began. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Messiah Yeshua, our Lord. This is our hope. This is our understanding. And this is our belief. This is what it all hinges on. We have been given a great gift. Yeshua has died for our sins. And through the shedding of his blood, you and I don't have to be far away from God, don't have to be wondering where we are in our standing with God tonight. We can be assured that we're right there with God and we can be close to him. Now, sure, we continue to sin. We continue to have ways that we fall short. We continue to have to say the Al-Khet. You know, I was going through it tonight, and I was like, yeah, I did that. Yeah, I did that. Yeah, I did that. And it's just amazing. And you stop and you say, boy, I cannot believe I'm still choosing to not be close to God. But this is a time where we, as followers of Yeshua, can say, you know what, I'm going to make a change. You know what? I'm going to think differently. You know, I'm going to act differently towards people. I'm going to have more patience. I'm going to take my time with things more. I'm going to, when someone strikes me, I'm not going to strike them back. I'm just going to, so to speak, I'm going to forgive them in Yeshua. This is something I think we all need to work on this year. I know I need to work on it. So as we reflect, as we think about this on this very solemn night, let's go to God and say, God, we're sorry we messed up. We're sorry we sinned. But we're thankful for what you've done for us and how we can reconnect back with you tonight. Let's pray. God of Israel, God of all creation, we come before you, Lord, broken. We come before you imperfect. And we come before you with our sins hanging right there, Lord. We can't hide them from you. They're all there. As we say the Al-Khet tonight and as we say it tomorrow, we're reminded of the ways that we have fallen short. If we're honest with ourselves, we're reminded of how we haven't measured up to the standard of holiness. You said, be holy as I am holy, and then we go and chase after other things. Are people would you know, in the past chased after idols. But we have sometimes idols in our lives, whether it's money, power, position, different things. But Lord, help us to chase after you. Help us to acknowledge our sins, but understand that Yeshua, you came as a substitutionary sacrifice. We can identify with your death. And Lord, that death did occur. Your death occurred for our sins. So we thank you, God, that we are wiped clean by the blood of Yeshua. We pray, Lord God, that we would continue to draw closer to you. And we pray for all of our family and friends that don't know you yet. May you speak to them, Lord God, even in that still small voice, with better words and better actions than we could even do. And we pray that you would speak to them even on this night, even this year, Lord God, and draw them close to you. And of course, draw us closer and closer to you. We thank you and praise you, God. We give you all the praise, glory, and honor in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Let's all stand tonight. And as we reflect, let's go to him in prayer and sing this to him. For your name, Lord, is holy.
Through the blood of the Lamb, I enter to worship you only, Lord. I enter to honor I am, Lord. I worship. for your name is holy.
Of the world, King Supreme. Before anything was formed, he alone reigned. When by his will all things were created, his sovereign name was made known. And at the end, when all things cease to be, the exalted God alone will still be king. He was, and he is, and he will be forever glorious. He is one, and there is no second to compare him to or to place next to him. He has no beginning and no end. Power and dominion are his. He is my living God who saves, my rock when troubles and sorrows are mine, my banner and my strong refuge, my bounteous portion whenever I call. I give my soul into his care, for he is near when I sleep and when I wake. With my soul, my body too, God is with me. I shall not be afraid.
Close our Kol Nidre service with a special blessing, the Aaronic blessing from Numbers chapter 6, that Aaron the high priest would say over the children of Israel, and let this be a blessing for us tonight as we go forth in refreshing and newness of life, knowing that our sins are atoned for. And we thank you, God, for that. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Yevrechach Adonai v'yishmarecha, Yar Adonai panav alecha v'ichunecha, Yasa Adonai panav alecha v'yasim lecha shalom. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar Shalom. Amen. Everyone, thank you for